Good morning. So this morning, we are reading from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through to 47. And we're covering the subject of areas to still grow in. And this is part of your physical earth suit general need, right? So, now, when we have a look at the church today, and in fact, this changed quite soon after the church started. Initially, the way the church was with Jesus is that it operated outside of the principles of trade. Right? Everyone operated as a community. That's how it worked. And nobody was charging anybody for anything. Everyone was simply loving, giving, helping, encouraging, strengthening, supporting. And they were doing it, expecting nothing in return, just as Jesus had said, give and expect nothing in return. He said, lend and do not expect it back. These are principles of heaven. These are principles of your home, your real home. Now, the world that you live in operates under the principle of trade. And that principle was introduced by Satan initially into heaven. God was running things according to giving and loving, and Satan was put in charge. And he wanted to be like God. But to be like God meant he had to know what was going on everywhere, all the time. So he devised this situation whereby if he knew every transaction that was taking place, he would be like God. To do that, he would need to have a way to highlight every transaction. And the only way to do that was to make sure that anything given, the same value was given back to that same one that gave, and therefore there was no simply giving out of love. You gave, and that person had to give back something of equal value in return to you. That's the principle of trade, right? Well, there's no love in trade. You don't have to love the other person to trade. To give, you do have to love because you are getting nothing out of this, right? You're just sacrificing. So, in Ezekiel 28:11-18, you can go and have a look at it. You'll see the reason why Satan was kicked out of heaven is because he created this principle of trade, right? Well, when he came down here, the very first trade that he ever did was to have Adam and Eve trade all of earth to him and to do so by disobeying God. From then, trade settled in. And God told them the consequences of this that they'd done. And we've been living with that ever since. Right? When Jesus came, he brought heaven. He brought a lifestyle that does not require trade. And of course, that flies right in the face of Satan and in everything that goes on this planet. Because you didn't need an accountant. Because nobody was checking to see who owed what. You didn't need a lawyer because nobody was taking anybody to court. You didn't need to go and buy 100 of anything because somebody in your community had it. And anyway, it wasn't yours. It belonged to the Lord. And so you took good care of it. But anybody who needed it, there it was. And you helped one another out. You supported one now. Now, when you have a look at this principle of church, you don't really see it very easily in amongst the normal bodies of church that you come across. You'll see it within certain individuals, but they are so abused and used for their goodness and because of the way that they love. And Paul says, consider it joy when people treat you that way. You can expect people to treat you that way. They will take advantage of you. They will despitefully use you. and persecute you and all of that, because you don't come from here. You don't come from earth. And you know it in your heart that you don't come from earth. Yes, your spirit is here. You've now got your correct spirit, nine-dimensional spirit. Covered that in the last one, so if you want to know more about that, go to the previous message. So this particular passage is very seldom spoken of in amongst the churches of today. Because the churches of today still run on principles of trade. You have business leaders and elders and financial managers and accountants and everybody else that you would normally have in a normal business is now in a church. Well, I say that very loosely because there are some churches who just simply meet in people's homes and there's none of that going on. There's none of this management and control and finances and all the rest of it. Right now, before this final, before the mark of the beast comes out, which will cause you not to be able to operate outside of the financial system, in terms of you will not be able to trade in any way, shape, or form excepting in the financial system. And therefore, you will not have the benefits of the financial system and everything that goes along with it. Right? And so, how are you going to make it? Well, you're going to make it the same way that everybody made it here. In these passages, in these verses, it tells you how to live without the mark of the beast. And so none of us need to be afraid or worried about it. We just need to change the way we live and stop trying to buy for ourselves and take care of ourselves and have our own things and start living the way Jesus said. Now, it wasn't long after this that people started to want to donate into different churches, right? But they wanted to do it in such a way that it was now visible. It was visible that you were actually giving. And that's when Satan started to step in. When people were giving and nobody knew that they were being given or that they were giving, then you didn't know where it came from and the blessing was there. Right? The blessing was there. In the feeding of the 5,000, the people who were receiving that miracle bread and a miracle fish did not know that it came from a little boy's sandwich. They just knew that as Peter was holding these two tiny pieces of food, a small piece of roll and a tiny piece of fish, that as he gave it to them in their hands, it suddenly grew and they could eat. That was the miracle that they saw. They did not know where it came from. And that's the principle that is applied here. You don't know where it came from because people are giving in secret according to the Holy Spirit leading them to say, take this to so-and-so, give that to so-and-so. Right? Now, there are other ways that you can work in a more structured way whereby people can, and people should, tell you their needs. They should. But do it in such a way that the gossipers don't know what's going on and they can't get involved in causing trouble, right? And anyway, gossipers are there to be ignored. They're setting themselves up for such a hiding from the Lord, you actually need to feel sorry for them and pray for them, right? Because God is going to absolutely punish them terribly for gossiping. So you've got to feel sorry for them. But don't take what they do or say personally. It's got nothing to do with you, nothing to do with you to worry about either. So, let's read this and see exactly how a church is supposed to work. Right? This is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So, they fellowshiped, they ate together, they were praying together, right? And they were studying the Word of God. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. Now, you need to understand there's a big difference here between what people call about communism and socialism, where it looks like you're doing something relating to this. All right? The reality is, unless Holy Spirit is the one in charge, you will always have greed and control and all sorts of things like that driving that society, because somebody's going to be in charge. Some people are going to get this, some people are going to get that, and you will wind up having the poor. Why? Because socialism, communism, they are all still based on the principle of trade. If you took trade completely out of it, and you had all things in common, now all of a sudden, there's no trading going on. It's just everybody loving, giving, helping, encouraging, strengthening, supporting. Now you're doing it God's way. But if you're doing it with the heart of Satan, then you're absolutely not going to be doing what's right. Now, what does the heart of Satan look like? It looks like the Freemasonry movement. They do this. They do this. They give, they help, they encourage. You get all sorts of movements that are charity related and all that sort of things. You know, a lot of these very wealthy people, they're giving to charity. They're doing all of this that it's being spoken about here. But they're not doing it for the Lord. Okay. So, when you are doing this under the banner of Jesus Christ, then you're doing it for Him and you're doing it according to heaven. Right? And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So, where does this seem to go wrong? You see, people sold their possessions and their goods, and they parted them to all as every man had need. So, while people had things to sell and goods to sell, they could then part these things to everyone that had need. Right? And that's fine, but the greatest need was actually their hard work that they should be doing. So while you are working hard at making some object or another, you can share with the work and you can share with help and you can help one another. You charge outside of the church. Right? You charge the outside world because they want to work on trade. So you charge them, that's fine. But you don't charge your brothers and sisters. You do not charge them. You know, it is a law in the Leviticus system. You may not add interest to any loan or any financial thing as far as your brothers and sisters are concerned. You may not do that. You must not. You're not allowed to. Because that's charging. You are charging your brothers and sisters. You're not supposed to be charging anything because actually everything belongs to the Lord. You pass it on. That's all that happens. But if you're going to apply the principles of trade within your church community, that's when things go wrong. Now, when you want to, for example, do some kind of an event, right? And you go to a Christian church and say, please, can I use your hall? This is the Christian event that I want to hold. If they then say, okay, well, we rent out our hall for this, they're immediately making a mistake. They are going straight against this passage. If some secular group of people say, we'd like to rent the church's hall, well, the first thing you've got to ask is, well, is this something that the Lord would support? It's His church. It's His hall. Would He support what they're doing? Because a lot of these places, on the surface of it, it seems like it would be nice and good. But in reality, it becomes full of debauchery and all sorts of evil that is taking place, and that's happening now in the church, in the hall. Something belongs to Jesus. That's wrong. So it's safest to keep these things available just for those who are children of God and who are working together as a church. Right? Now, this is where the question around membership comes in. Do you need to be a member of a church? In a sense, yes. In the sense that you need to commit to what it is that the church is believing in. Right? Now, yes, there are some people, some of us, who the Lord has said, you're not to be a member of any particular church. You are to be an independent, and you stick to the word and you do the word. You're not part of any particular community, and God will provide for you in the way that He chooses to provide for you. And it's a bit like when God took care of Elijah with the crows and the food. The crows bring in the meat and the bread for him. So God provides supernaturally for some. For others, they're part of that church, and yes, they become members, but they have to be very, very careful with that membership, because if the membership is asking them to do something that is not scriptural or agree to something that's not scriptural, you need to publicly remove yourself. You need to say, I'm not part of that church anymore. You know, you don't just slink off or whatever. You need to say, I'm not part of that church, because otherwise people think that church is okay, when actually it's not. Right? Now, the way you leave a church is really important. You need to give every opportunity for those in charge to go and investigate Scripture and see what Scripture says, and then make a determination as to whether or not they might be stepping into some dangerous areas or not. And then they can release you. And when they release you, the best way to do it is to publicly do so. You know, you step up on the stage and say, well, I'm leaving and I'm going to this place, or I'm going to wherever. And the church leadership or whomever, they will say, yes, we release you. And that way, the same way you have a membership intake, you need to have a membership release. Then nobody's backbiting or anything like that behind, because it was all done up front. It's really important to do that. And you don't just do it with leaders. You do it with everyone, right? Now, when you are simply giving and loving and sharing, you've got to recognize your house is not your own anymore. It now belongs to the Lord. Yes, you're a steward of your house. In other words, you've got to take account for what you're going to do with it, and the Holy Spirit has to agree, and your family has to agree, because that's where they stay. So if the Holy Spirit lays on your heart to have an event at your house, then do so. If the Holy Spirit lays on your heart that He is asking you to adopt a child and allow that child to be a part of your home and your house, then do so. Right? But understand, it's not yours. If the Holy Spirit wants you to provide a type of a B&B for visiting Christians to the area, then do so. But do it in love. Do it in giving and sharing. Don't do it by trade. It's not yours to trade with. Right? It's not yours to trade with. Trade doesn't happen with the things that belong to God. Things that belong to God are used for the church and for the people of the church. Right? well, God's not sure what Holy Spirit has been saying to you. Been saying a bit to me, which is good. It's always good to have the Lord sharpen you. So, if you're following along with us in the handbook, then make your keywords in the second column and score yourself in the right. God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.